You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Southampton 1, United 1. Daniel James, a wonder strike in the 10th minute, you know, said to be the next Ryan Giggs for us. What a goal. And then we let them back in, 58th minute from Vestergaard, which, you know, got Southampton a point. The way they defended, actually, I want to say it was a well-deserved point for them. United started the match well, but Southampton did get back into the game. United let them. You know, and even though they had a red card, Danso, in the 73rd minute, you know, it offered United to get back into the game to win it, but we were limited and we weren't able to break them down. You know, Greenwood came on and had a good shot, but it was saved. And other than that, Daniel James played in crosses, but we don't have that striker who wants to get on to the end of the ball. We've got Rashford who can run in behind the defence, but we need someone. We need to buy someone in January who can get ahead to the ball, because whenever I see a cross going to the box, I can't see anyone in our team apart from Pogba in open play who can head the ball. Obviously in corners we've got Maguire and Pogba, McTominay, but in open play we don't have that player who can run in and hit the ball. You know, that Southampton winless 9 home Premier League matches against United, and that's the first time they'd avoided defeat in consecutive home games against us since January 1998. I mean, United have just collected 5 points in the last 4 games. That's picking up fewer than their first 4 games of a Premier League campaign in 1992 and 1993. Now, I'm sorry, but as Scholesy said the other day in the press conference, it's going to take time, it's going to take 2 seasons, but if something doesn't happen soon, I think Solskjaer's just got to put his hand up and say, I'm sorry, can't do it.
Welcome to the Manchester United Redcast, as United are drawn in the Europa League this week and they pick up another big point in the Premier League away at Southampton. Joining me to chew the fat about all things Reds is Richard Amofa. Richard, up, pal?
How you doing, big man? You okay?
Yeah, not bad, man. Not bad. I'm
good.
Buzzing for Astana away and Partizan away and AZ Alkmaar. You know what?
Come on.
You know, not bad. But Astana away, Kazakhstan. I'm absolutely buzzing, pal.
It was 6,000 mile round trips. I mean, who would be excited for that, man? Like, exactly. I'm up for it. I'm. Exactly. Apparently, that kickoff is going to be at 10-4 on a Thursday afternoon. I mean, we're playing football when we haven't even got home from work. I mean, that just says a lot about where we are at the moment, man. It's quite.
Well, man, don't worry. Let's embrace it, man. Embrace it. What are we going to do? Just very quickly, I know we're going to talk about Europa League later. Didn't Louis van Gaal manage AZ Alkmaar and win them the Eredivisie?
Won the league, yeah.
Won the Eredivisie, didn't he?
Yeah,
that's after he went out of, like, disappeared, didn't he, for a bit, like, after in the Netherlands. Then after AZ Alkmaar went to Bayern.
Well, listen, I mean, with the squad that he had there, he did wonders with him. Say, to win a league, you know, he did well with him. So, like I said, they've got some pedigree, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they're any good now, to be honest. I haven't really been following their progress since he left. So, yeah, I would actually say you'd expect United to win, but I'm sure we'll touch on that later.
We will indeed. It's transfer deadline day. Well, it's transfer deadline day if you're in Europe, League One, League Two, not the Championship. If you're in, you know, La Liga, if you're in Liga. So yeah, it's kind of boring here in the UK, apart from all of our players just departing everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
The big deals that have been done. Me and Richard just been talking over them. Of course, we can talk about the United ones, but Henrik Mkhitaryan's gone to Roma. And with him going to Roma and Sanchez going to Inter, I think, you know, obviously Arsenal and United are looking to draw a line under this, like, you know, this possibly the shit of deal in the history of football.
who do you think, just quickly, who do you think got the worst, you know, had the worst outcome of that swap deal? So it was an absolute nightmare for both, wasn't it, really?
Mkhitaryan scored 9 and 59 for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Sanchez scored 5 and 45 for United.
Disgusting. I guess plus Sanchez's wages as well, you know. Sanchez, yeah, I think United had to big it out.
I mean, it's the fact that Mkhitaryan was just a miserable shit as well. Like, you know,
just I don't think I ever saw him smile.
Who else has gone where? Oh, Radamel Falcao, remember him? Radamel Falcao has got Galatasaray. 25,000 people get into the airport.
That, you know, I saw that. That was insane. Sick. The thing is, he's someone, he knows where the goal is. You know, give him supply, which he didn't have at United. He knows how to put the ball in the back of the net. And yeah, you know, in the Turkish league, you'd expect him to thrive, wouldn't you? Yeah, exactly.
You know, that was a joke. But he didn't show it to Chelsea.
This guy's an idiot.
Anyway, Mario Lemina from Southampton is going on loan there. And Florin Andono, so Galatasaray really sort of like doing the bizzo there. They've signed quite a few, like, you know, big names, Galatasaray. A big deal. Napoli has signed Fernando Llorente, which means he won't be coming to United.
You happy about that?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We are like a few injuries away from really just being a bit scary, mate. Azmir Begovic has joined Qarabağ on loan. Shout out to him. I can't wait to see you in Azerbaijan in the 15th round of the
Euroleague.
In
London. Exactly.
involving PSG and Real Madrid. Keylor Navas, the goalkeeper who famously cried when he found out he was joining Manchester United, has signed for PSG on a 4-year deal, while Alphonse Areola, who is PSG's keeper, has got Real Madrid on loan. I really don't understand.
You know, he's a good keeper, you know. I think, you know, obviously Courtois didn't have his best season last year. You know, Areola is you know, he's rated very highly in France. You know, I think, you know, we're looking at it, it does look a bit of an odd deal to swap the two, but Areola will definitely put Courtois under a lot of pressure there.
PSG have signed Sergio Rico as well on loan from Sevilla. He was the one keeper that
was great at
Fulham last year.
Yeah.
So very, very strange. But Navas, I mean, I remember talking to Guillaume Balague and him telling me about how Keylor Navas, who's deeply religious, is deeply praying they wouldn't leave Real Madrid and this whole Man United thing would go away. And, well, there you go, Edward. Wow. Dodgy fax machine mentioned that ended. We're talking, of course, about Manchester United drawing 1-1 at Southampton. Dan James opened the scoring on 10 minutes with a fabulous goal, an absolutely fabulous goal. United had chances, but Yannick Vestergaard scored it on 58 minutes, while Dantzler, I think it's Kevin Dantzler, there's nine in, was sent up on 73 minutes. United couldn't quite find the winner, which... another win, it's ever so slightly concerning. We're seventh in the league, we've got 5 points from 4 games. After the Wolves game, we're sitting there going, yeah, great, yeah, great. And, like, you know, 2 games on now, we're just a bit like, yeah, amazing.
You know what, I think people are going to start seeing me as some kind of jinx. I think ever since I've come in the pod, I don't think we've won a game yet. You know, I think that, you know, the top Reds out there will be thinking, you know, who's this Richard guy, you know, he's jinxing the club. You know, I want to come in the pod and talk about a win. I want to talk about how well we're playing, how we've passed the ball around. Not an insipid display, you know. Again, what is going on? You know, what's happening?
I don't know, man. I mean, I've watched it, you know, and there was points where we actually attacked all right. We looked half decent. But again, we lacked that sort of clinical edge. You know, Ashley Young had an opportunity which he curled. Wan-Bissaka, you know, skied a chance, even though it was quite a difficult one. I mean, you really needed an experienced finisher to be there when he did that. But, you know, Mason Greenwood as well, you know, forced a decent save out of Gunn, as did Marcus Rashford. But, you know, I mean, we've got no options. We've got no options to bring on. Like, you just look at the bench.
It just looks so dry, doesn't it?
I don't know, we had 20 opportunities, yeah. 8 on target. Southampton had 2 on target, but stats don't mean shit, you know?
No, exactly.
Lingard, Rojo, Romero, Greenwood, Matic, Tuan Zebe and Chong. I mean, genuinely, if our squad gets any fucking thinner, we're going to be like anorexic, mate. Do you know what I mean? It is genuinely a joke how squad is. And like, obviously, we're going to come on to like transfers and talking about the players that we've got rid of. Of course, Smalling has gone. Mateur Darmian has finally, you know, sort of surfaced after, you know.
Forgot about that guy.
Yeah, mate, after disappearing into the bowels of Old Trafford, he's surfaced and, you know, he's left for Parma today. Borthwick Jackson's gone. You know, a load of players, Sanchez, Lukaku, all gone. Fellaini's gone. But, like, we are quite, you know, threadbare as far as go, you know, and it's ever so slightly worrying. In terms of the Southampton game, obviously a lot of people talking about the fact that Lindelof got beaten to height off of Vestergaard. What did you make of that? A lot of people slated Lindelof after those two games.
Well, I mean, again, it's the second time in two games where he's lost a crucial header and it's led to a goal. You know, in the Crystal Palace game, I gave him not the benefit of the doubt. You want your centre-back to win those headers. And I put a lot of emphasis on Maguire not covering around and Aaron Wan-Bissaka not covering around. But, you know, it keeps happening. I see Lindelof as he's a good player, but I think he's more of a like a sweeper, like a secondary centre-back. He needs a more dominant player next to him. But I think Maguire, well, it should be. You'd think at £80 million he would be, but I think he's of a similar ilk, though, because you need your defenders to dominate that six-yard box. And, you know, in the age when we had Ferdinand Vidic, any cross that came into the box, you know it's being cleared away. You know, you're filled with confidence that those defenders are going to head it, they're going to kick it away, and, you know, we can squeeze up the pitch. Anytime the ball comes into the box now, I'm nervous. I'm so nervous because we look so fragile. And yes, Maguire's come in, but like I said, it was a good ball towards the back post. The marking was atrocious. I know Rashford was there, Lindelof was there as well, but it's just simply not good enough, Aaron, mate. I mean, for this to keep happening, then, you know, this is meant to be our top centre back. You know, it's a concern, big concern.
Yeah, man, it really, really, really is a bit of a concern. You look at that back line. I mean, Rojo was on the bench. No sign of Tuan Zebe on the bench, but, you know, with Smalling going out. By the way, I just want to touch on this as well. Chris Smalling, you know, leaving. If there was a choice of Rojo, Jones or Smalling leaving, I think Smalling would be bottom on my list.
Yeah, I know Smalling gets sick, but I don't mind him. Yeah.
No. I do mind him. I can't stand him, but...
No, but he's better than Jones and Rojo, though.
He stays fit compared to the others. The others, you know, struggle with fitness so much. And the worrying thing is, when Ollie turns around and goes, he'll come back a better player. A better player for who? He's fucking not 28. He's 29, man. Something like that. You know, Chris Smalling isn't exactly, you know, like, young. A spring chicken who's going to be, you know, who's going to come back and, like, lay claim to a first-team spot. You know, you look at him, you look at, you know, fucking, who else? Well, James Wilson's gone on a permanent, but him... Alexis Sanchez, these players are players that need to leave and need to, like, sort of disappear at the United.
You know, you're not a fan, no.
No, I don't think anyone is. But very strange, though, like, you know, why not get rid of flipping Rojo over these guys?
Yeah, this is it. I don't know how Rojo is doing at the club, you know. I mean, like I said, we know about the Everton situation. Just makes no sense. Why would you... I don't know. Again, I say it every week, you know, there's something fundamentally wrong at the club. You know, the decision's being made. You get rid of Smalling, but then not Rojo. But then Rojo will never play anyway. So you're just going to stink up the bench, continue picking up wages, you know, just being a drain on everything. You know, it's just not... It's just poor all round. Listen, one thing we'll say, I know someone last week talked about time, didn't they? And I was moaning, saying, oh, you know, we should be hitting the ground running. But, you know, maybe that is just a fact of the matter. But they have to stick with Solskjaer because he's clear that he's trying to get players out. Fair enough, he's brought no one in to replace them yet. But you said Klopp had about six windows before things started ticking properly. You know, we have to kind of invest in Solskjaer and allow him to kind of do what he's doing. You know, I think over the past week, I think I've just resigned to the fact that we just have to give him time. I know last week I was moaning, saying we need to hit the ground running, but what can he do? He's done. He said what he's going to do in terms of getting rid of players, but unfortunately he's not been able to bring in enough, so the squad is looking very thin. But that's, you know, so a bit of me thinks is a bit out of his hands, to be honest, in terms of the players he's trying to get in. Yeah,
so it's all out of his hands, let's be fair. Board sort something out. We're up shit creek. We're you know, a lot of sticks for paddles, mate. Let's socials. Obviously, we put some tweets out at 90s United and at United Redcast following Saturday's 1-1 draw with Southampton. Let's start with Michael Gardner. It's a disgrace, but expected nothing less. Looking at the starting 11, it's laughable. Lingard and Matic coming on to try and win it for us. Pathetic. Let's not keep kidding ourselves either. Rashford is also included in many players who are nowhere near good enough. What do you make of that? I mean, like, Lingard and Matic, I agree. You know, as far as squad players go, they're not great. Rashford is flattering to deceive. I mean, a lot of people have turned around and gone, flipping, start Greenwood up top. You know, while Martial's out, start Greenwood up top and let's get things going. Let's give him a fair crack of the whip.
You might as well. I mean, Solskjaer's come out and said, didn't he, he's the most natural finisher at the club. I know probably some kind of psychology to get Martial and Rashford going. But if you rate him that much, as we said last week, well, there's no point giving him 20 minutes here, half an hour here. You might as well just throw him in there because he's going to get chances. And, you know, he's like, you know, you're not going to know how good he is until you play him. So you might as well just throw him in there.
Yeah.
I can't see how worse it'll be than what we have at the moment. So you might as well just play him.
Martin said, I fell asleep and missed 15 minutes. Says it all. Nice one, mate. Sat Jenner said, no creativity. Pogba, utterly awful. He should learn from James's work rate. McTominay is very limited on the ball. He's just bouncing off him. Matic is past it. Mate, we are so light. It's so...
You know, it's embarrassing, isn't it? And you know what? Another thing as well. Andres Pereira, you know, he was meant to be the next best thing, wasn't he? And his career has just stuttered so badly. I don't know what's going on with him. I mean,
another poor display. Fucking finish now and then, but... You know, that's about it. It's so fucking worrying where we are. Our squad, as Zahid has said, 1-1, no surprise, we'll struggle to finish top half. Mate, a run of injuries, and I'll probably agree with you. A run of injuries.
It's true. You know, all it takes is an injury to Pogba and maybe to one of the centre backs, and we will be bottom half, in the bottom half of the bottom half. That's how bad it will be. I'm not even joking.
Joe goes, when we go forward, it looks decent. Any pressure and we're looking for a leader and there isn't one. Mata looked hungry for it and was fuming with the goal. This is not a short-term fix. It's long-term planning and sadly we won't see the finished article for a while. I agree completely. Clinton was on BBC Five Live on Saturday and turned around and was like sort of, you know, going on about Mata saying, you know, how he controlled the game. Again, I've said it a million and one times. He might not have the pace, but let him drop deeper into a role where he can fucking control the game. Mm-hmm. Let him actually control the game. Don't expect him to play that wing role at 10 where he just needs pace and pace and pace. It's unreal. I mean,
I think we look better without Lingard, to be fair. I think Mata did play half decent. But I mean, there's one thing I would say, actually, which I've come on to, is that the other day, I don't know if you saw, after the Wolves game, at half-time, Gary Neville got a lot of stick, as he often does these days, for saying that Matty James was the only leader within the squad. And everyone jumped in it saying, what's that about? How to be a leader? But to be a leader, you don't often have to be shouting, hollering, everything. You have to lead by example. And since he's walked into the club, he set the tone. In pre-season, he was setting the tone, had the best bleep test score, was the quickest.
The fact of the matter is, in the Championship, you have to be supremely fit. The Premier League, you might be able to coast now and then, but in the Championship, shit, man, there's so much running to do. You're in trouble if you're not. You see.
No, I hear that, but he's taking responsibility in games, though. That goal again, he's getting on the ball, and he's doing.
look at players, Rich, look at players that have dropped out from the Premier League, yeah, from the likes of your Stokes, etc., etc. Look at and look at Mbula, Stokes' record signing, and Zonzi, players that dropped out, yeah, and how they've completely flopped. Look at fucking Sadio Berahino, mate. He's not fit enough. James is supremely fit at Swansea. Why? Because he has to run. Why? Because if you don't run, Swansea will struggle.
Get found out. No, listen, I hear that fully, but why is he now coming into an elite team, inverted commas, Manchester United? Why is he the fittest? Why is he the
fastest?
Because
the rest of them ain't fit enough. Mate, they
have an issue with the squad then, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But surely for him, he could come in and just be happy to be at Manchester United. But that's my point. Normally, when players make their step up, it might be too big for them. They might just be happy to be here at FC. No, he's taking responsibility on that pitch. Look at the goals that he's scoring already. He's the one who's taking the game to the opponents in a way that I want to see Rashford do more. I want to see Pereira. He's been coasting the last 3 years. I expect him to be doing more. He's coasting. Whereas Matty James is coming in, I'm saying, look, I'm going to be the main man.
And James.
But people writing me off. Listen, that's what it is, though. He scored again on Saturday. He scored our last two goals. And he's the only one who's looking like a potent threat. That's just a fact of the matter.
He's unpredictable, let's be fair. If you're a defender, he's unpredictable. Going up against Dan James, he is so unpredictable.
Exactly, because he's so quick. But at least he's offering a threat, though.
Yeah.
He's not just standing around on the ball.
Not like that, and he's not afraid to take a shot. Every time United players take, you know, look to take a shot, they're passing sideways.
Exactly.
508 Fury said, wait, you're back. What happened last year? Well, we are back. And that's pretty much it. Samson Tan. What are the odds of Poch managing United by December? Not sure, mate. We're not sponsored.
Ooh,
by
I
can tell you.
Can't really speculate on that too much.
Kessa, we don't have a natural finish in the team. Rashi not good enough. Poor decision making. Pogba looks much better playing higher up. Completely agree with you on that. Without the natural finisher, I'd say Martial's probably the best finisher there. But Martial had to do it. It's obviously a case of staying fit, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Ant goes mid-table. Jaffar says, still too predictable in attack, simply no pace and power. Since we are now in the same bracket as teams outside the top four, it's time to let Greenwood, Chong, Gomez and the other young talents play. Some of the senior players are just too ordinary to be at Man United. Do you know what? Apparently, Gomez scored an absolute worldie of a goal.
It was a banger. Like, he picked up the ball, he skipped past like three players, whipped it top corner. And you're thinking,
why is he not involved in the first team?
This is it. The only thing I can think of, which is complete rubbish because it shouldn't be the case, but maybe Solskjaer just thinks he's too small and lightweight. But how do you know that unless you see him actually playing? Because I wouldn't say Foden is particularly big or strong or you know, a heavyweight, is he? But his technical ability and his intelligence creates that space and gives him time on the pitch to make things happen. I think Gomez can do something similar if he's given a chance. We're crying out for number 10. We need someone to play in that position with a bit of guile and pace and creativity. Just give him an opportunity. If he doesn't do well, then at least we say we've tried, but we don't know until we play him. Do you know what I mean? It's just give him a go. I can't see how worse he can be compared to, you know, Lingard or Matu, who've been in there already.
Mate, LJ McCord has turned around and gone Greenwood. Kessa's gone. He's inexperienced, not proven at this level. He needs to be starting at number 9, not on the left or the right. And this goes back to my point last week. What is it with the United taking players and trying to convert them into wingers?
Is there like a lack of trust? It's just getting forward-thinking players on the pitch. So I know there's this whole trend of just, if you've got as many forwards on the pitch, they can be dangerous. But not everybody's going to be a winger. You know, some players are just killers in a box. And we don't have enough box. I saw a stat the other day about, I think, since August 2016, Manchester United have only scored 9 goals inside the box, inside the 6-yard box. That's not good enough. I mean, for a team that creates all these chances,
that's not good enough. 9. That's embarrassing. We ain't won 9.
Yeah.
9 games.
All you need. Well, do you think if we had Lukaku, we'd have won that game? If we'd kept him?
That's a hard question, man. Look, there's no doubt about it. The Giza gave you goals. You know, in the first season, scoring 25 goals, all my mates sitting there laughing at us that we've signed Romelu Lukaku. With all due respect, he scores goals. By the way, what happened to him on Sunday or Saturday?
It's disgusting, man. You know, disgusting. But they weren't doing enough. Yeah.
We don't like players. You know what? I don't like certain players, you know. But racism's a disgusting thing, and we need to get rid of it.
100%. No, I'm glad you addressed it. That's absolutely disgusting.
The fact that he's gone there and he's standing up to it, and he did that sort of like thing where he stood in front of the fans, and you know, after he's called, fair play to him. You know,
go
and address him. But you know, seriously, Italy, the Italian leagues have got such a big problem with that. We've had a question from Bruce Graham at FunkBoss5. Go and during the next podcast, please ask this question: has Ollie done enough to warrant giving him 2 or 3 more transfer windows to get us right? I'm going to let you go first, Harry.
Oh, sorry for the exhale. It's just, listen, the current form since he's got the job is such a concern. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it's looking worrying. It's looking very worrying. But I say, you know, as we say, Klopp had 6 windows to get Liverpool really ticking. I guess if he needs time, he needs time. But I'm not really confident with the way he's looking at the moment, if I'm being honest with you, Aaron. Really confident. Say it again.
Do you reckon he'll get the backing?
You like to hope so. I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, he was given money in the summer, wasn't he? I mean, you can't say he wasn't, but he needs to be given time to put his stamp on the squad and to get those reinforcements in. He's got rid of certain players. Got rid of Lukaku, who he wanted to get rid of. Got rid of Sanchez. So he said what he's going to do. He's got rid of certain players. Now, remember that press conference where he said certain players won't be here next season? He's got rid of them now. Now let's get, you know, let's back him to get the players he needs to come in. And then if he doesn't do well, then unfortunately, you know, he's got to go. But you say, if he goes, who do we get? You know, unless Poch leaves Spurs, I don't really know who else would be willing to take the hot seat. So you just have to back him.
Fair. If Poch leaves Spurs, we still need players to come in. Poch leaves Spurs.
Yeah, exactly.
We're in the same position with Solskjaer, without Solskjaer, with Poch or without Poch. And you know, what's frustrating is I think we needed 2 more players at a minimum this summer. 2 more players to try and, you know, actually say, you know what, yes, we're taking this shit. Because right now, we are in big shit, mate. We are in big shit. And you know, people turn around to me, mate, all I've heard from people is, oh, Southampton. You know what? This is where we fucking are as a club. This is where we are at the moment. And the truth of the matter is that this season is going to be such a hard season. All we need to do right now is focus on cups. I reckon League Cup, FA Cup, Europa League. Focus on them. Try and get a success in them, because in the league, we're going to see stuff like that. We're going to see stuff like that. Southampton 1-1. You know, every fucking...
You know, I think you're right. I think every week, as fans... Yeah, we need to kind of just be realistic. And as you say, I know we have a standard we need to set and we should be winning these kind of games, but I'm not saying that we should accept these draws. No, not
we
no
should
way.
Have,
not at we all. Should have, we shouldn't accept it. But we should get used to it.
Right now, we are in a very bad place. And the only way that's going to change is, you know, we've petitioned for, you know, Woodward and co. to bring in a director of football. They talked about it. They tried to lead us along with it. Yeah, we'll get someone. They talked to Rio, talked to Darren Fletcher, talked to this person, talked to that person. At the end of it, what happened? No, we're going to do it ourselves.
Nothing, as always.
As always, they've now recouped a bit of money. They've slashed the wage bill with Darmian leaving. Sanchez, don't get me wrong, they haven't got rid of all Sanchez's wage, but fucking hell, 150, 200 grand, whatever it is, still a lot of money to bring back in every week, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Smalling's wage, Lukaku's wage, they recouped £75 million off Lukaku. You know, you look at all these players, Herrera's wage is gone, which was 100 grand a week or 120 grand a week, whatever it was, but no one has been replaced. They've brought in Dan James, who, let's be fair, when Solskjaer brought him in, goes, yeah, he's one for the future, he's not one for now. Well, you know what, right now he looks like our best fucking player.
Yeah, but again, that goes to what I was saying before. He's one for the future, but he's taking his chance and he's taking responsibility,
you know.
But I mean, but as you were saying, you said you listed off a number of names, a number of people off the wage bill, etc. So maybe he is playing a long game. He's rooting out these players, getting them out with an aim to get players in. But you know, in the past, you know, Manchester United has been a big draw for players to come. But if we continue, we're not going to be able to attract these names who we think we can.
Players aren't looking at the big draw. They're looking at the big wage. They're thinking, you know what, who can pay me a wage? And United will continue paying a wage until the Glazers get hurt financially by sponsors who go, you know what, ha, the sponsors who are fucking mercenaries who go, ha, you're shit, we're not going to sponsor you anymore. Or, ha, you're finishing mid-table, we're not interested in sponsoring United anymore. And that will take a while. Until that happens, they don't get. They don't give a shit. To answer this guy's question, to answer, was it Bruce? It was Bruce.
I think it was Big Bruce. Yeah.
And Bruce's question. I mean, look, we've won two. We won two games in our past 13. We haven't won away since PSG in March. PSG in March. I have so much faith in Oli. I love the man. He gave me some of the best days of my childhood. And you know what? I like this 4-2-3-1 he's playing. I think that we are a few players away from actually doing something. But it's not a case of, is Oli gonna get that window, and does Oli deserve a window? Do we trust the Glazers to deserve a window that Oli deserves? To deliver a window deliver a window that Oli deserves, that means that Oli will get us the players he wants, the players that Manchester United deserve, the players that Manchester United should have. Do we trust Ed Woodward? Do we trust the Manchester United board to go, you know what, fair enough, come January, you know, X or Y or Z is available, let's go and get him.
Mourinho, he's proven time and time again that he hasn't. I mean, he'll turn around and say, yeah, I delivered Maguire. But I'm not being funny. Anyone can throw money at a club to get who they want. Do you know what I mean? Like, with regards to Maguire, I mean, £80 million. Obviously, Leicester aren't going to reject that. Do you know what I mean? But it's the top quality players that we need in other positions. You know, will we have enough to get them there? But also, in the same time,
I'm sorry,
you really need to earn his money. He needs to earn his money on the training field.
I think we look a lot more dynamic in attack now and then, but we're just not finishing off our chances. Which, for someone who was a pure natural deadly finisher, is highly concerning. But when we're not taking our chances. When we move like a better, you know, as an outfit, we move a lot better. You know, instead of that 4-3-3, we're playing a 4-2-3-1. It's a lot more mobile. It's a lot more pacier. He demands a lot more for his players. And I really like that. But I wanted to see more players come in. You know, you look at Chelsea, you know, bringing in a striker last January. You know, they needed a striker. Forgive me, I can see his face, but I can't remember. When they got rid of
Morata, they brought in Higuain, didn't they?
Brought in Higuain. You know what?
Yeah. He was trash, though. He was rubbish.
They brought in Higuain. He scored, what, 2, 3, 4 goals, whatever.
Yeah, terrible.
But it was a body. It was someone you could bring in. Now, Mario Icardi has gone from Inter to PSG on loan, on a season-long loan. Are you telling me it was too hard to get that deal done? Inter have basically gone and raised. They wanted Nemanja Matic as well. Could we not turn around to Inter and go, you know what? We want a Icardi on loan for a season. You're taking the Lukaku off us? No problem. Give us a Icardi on loan.
I do find it odd that wasn't included in any deal. Maybe they looked at Icardi and I know he's got some off-field problems, to use the words. Can't really speculate too much on that. But you know, as we say, you know, who knows what Icardi might do to one of the teammates. But anyway, don't want to get done for any slander on that. But anyway, moving forward, like, maybe they looked at his off-field and thought he's not a right fit for the club, for the change room or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So maybe that was why they said no, because people thought Lukaku was a bad egg in the change room compared to others. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know what he's like, but he looks like a good professional guy. However, people were saying that he wasn't right for the club. They got rid of him. Would Icardi bring similar issues? Would he bring, you know, really kind of disrupt the harmony even in the dressing room? So I guess you have to think about that as well. But he's another top quality player, though.
I think the best bit of business United can do between now and January is persuade David Gill to come back. David Gill, come back and take your job. Because with all due respect to David Gill, you know, United rumours, the rumours were there when United were going for players. I remember 10, 12 years ago, you know, team talk and BBC gossip, looking at the rumours. And you know what? Not one of them was ever true. Because David identified a player, went out and got it done. Bam, bang, bang, bang. Yeah. I remember we signed Nani and Anderson. And I think it was Nani, Anderson and Hargreaves on the same day.
Same day.
Three players. you know what? He got shit done. He got shit done. And you've got to take your hat off to the man. You know what? He's in the same line as work as Ed Woodward. He's in finance. Woodward is a pure finance machine, and good luck to him. You know what? I'm sure he'd be very, very successful at, you know, some real blue chip companies. But David Gill knew the club inside out. He knew how to conduct business. He knew what the score was. And you know, I think United need to go and get him. There's a lot of chat that, you know, Gill is open to return. He actually still sits as a director at the club. He's not, you know, he's on the board of the club. He's always at games. You see him all the time. And it makes me wonder, he's sitting there in a United seat, a United tie and a United club suit. Why isn't he actually involved and turning around to Ed Woodward and going, you know what, let me sort out the transfer stuff. Let me do it. One day turn around to him and get him back. You get him back and do you know what? I think we've got a chance.
You know what it's like, though? You know these things sometimes when someone new comes in, they just want to put their stamp on things, you know. How do we know that David Gill's not giving suggestions to the club and Woodward just say, no, I want to do it my way. You know people that, when people are stubborn, you know, they don't want to take, you know, sometimes when you know your parents are right, but you don't want to listen, you do your own thing and you mess it up.
That's what I think. Regards to Ed Woodward. Ed Woodward David Gill pissing his own pool. If Ed Woodward I'll tell you something, Ed Woodward can fuck off, because with all due respect, the geezer has had how many transfer windows now? So Alex left in 2013. 2013, he's had six sets of transfer windows, 12 windows to try and get something going. And with all due respect to the guy, he's been an absolute categoric failure. It's shocking, man. It's shocking.
But I agree with you wholeheartedly, don't get me wrong. But for the players he has brought for a lot of money, how much responsibility would you put the manager's feet as well for not coaching these players and getting the best out of these players? Because we've seen a lot of big money signings come through the door. Maybe it's not right for the club, not right for the squad or whatever. Maybe it's things that players that we don't need. But how much responsibility do you put on the manager's door?
Ed Woodward signed Alexis Sanchez. You look at them signing Perisic. He wanted Perisic that summer. He was desperate for Perisic. And no, does he get? He gets Sanchez instead. So what does he do? Mourinho plays a game, mate. Mourinho plays a game and goes, you know what? I wanted a right winger. So what I'm going to do is, you know your new striker that you bought me on £500,000 a week? I'm going to pump him on the right wing and let's see how he comes up. And that's what happened. You know.
Do you remember when Mourinho said finishing second with the squad is my best achievement?
Yeah.
I begin to think he was right, you know.
He was more than right. People laughed at him, but do you know what?
He doesn't get enough credit for that. Because our squad is dead. I've never wanted to say it before, but our squad is dead. It's so dead. And that's just a fact. It's not even like up for debate now. I don't know whether, like I said, we've got decent players in there, but it's not a squad that's. I don't think we'll get top four this year. It'll be a pleasant surprise if we get top four.
We won't get, mate. I think it pains me to say. I think we're going to finish seventh. You know, sixth or seventh. With four games in, I cannot see us finishing nowhere near the top four, pal. Nowhere near. Look at the clubs fighting for top four.
Yeah, true.
And it pains me to say, get City and Liverpool. Look at Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs. Yeah, mate. Look at Leicester. To an extent, look at Wolves. They've got a better squad than us.
I think. Yeah, you're right. Man City, Liverpool are in their own league. I think, judging by the North London derby on Sunday. Those squads, you know. I mean, that was a fantastic game, by the way. I don't know if you watched it all, but that was a game, and there were two squads who were by far. Well, if they came up against Manchester United tomorrow, it will probably beat us quite convincingly. So, you know, I expect us to finish ahead of Chelsea, to be honest, but only because they're in transition. They've probably got a pass this season, if we're being honest. I reckon we'll come fifth. If we finish below Chelsea, I think that's unacceptable. We shouldn't finish below Chelsea this season. No way. I'll be furious. Even if we, you know, finish 13th and 14th, respectively. If we finish 14th and Chelsea finish 13th, I'll be furious, because we shouldn't finish below them. We shouldn't finish below them.
Mate, I can't see us. You know, and it's entered mid-table.
It's just frustrating.
I don't blame Ollie. I just don't blame Ollie. You know, this is a fucking shambles. How are you telling me Ollie turned around and goes, give me three players, give me Maguire, Wan-Bissaka and James? With all due respect, if that's the way, you know, that's if that's what you want, and it took us that long to sign us one, that long for us to sign Wan-Bissaka, and Harry Maguire, then something is categorically wrong. I think everyone knows what the problem is. It's Ed fucking Woodward. We're going to have to try and progress in the Europa League. There's some other teams in there. You know, there's some actual tasty-looking groups. Actually, no, there's not. I'm lying. There's not.
No, it becomes tasty after Christmas. Let's be real. I don't have, you know, there's not many people watch Europa League until after Christmas, until the second stage. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I watch it because I don't mind Europa League. But you say, though, I mean, I know we'll touch it later. But, I mean, yeah, not anything too inspiring. But what I want to ask you, Aaron, is, okay, let's say, for example, you're owner of Manchester United right now.
Yeah.
So Glazers are out, you're the owner, you've got all this money, blah, blah, blah. What would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah.
That's a tough question, man. What would I do?
If you had like a 5-point plan, I know it's not as black and white.
A five-point plan. Actually, bring someone in who knows what they're doing to do with football in terms of the actual director of football. I think, you know, United should try and broken the bank for Edwin, for Van der Sar. The job he's done at Ajax has been nothing short. Monchi has moved on, but, you know, we need to try and get someone who can identify. I'd actually shake up the club scouting system. If that's the best we can get, what we've got is what we can get up for them. Fucking hell, we're doing something wrong. I'd actually try and get David Gill back to actually CEO the club, and move Ed Woodward role on to an actual, you know, more of a business development role, if you like, you know. But and I'd turn around to Solskjaer and go, how can we get this club back to the top? Let's fucking work out how we can get the club back to the top. Let's spend some money in the right areas. Let's go and bring in the correct players. Let's go and find, you know, solutions to our problems. Because with all due respect, we know what the problems are. If us as fans know what the problems are, that the back line is still just ever so slightly, you know, shaky. We lack creativity in midfield, and up top we're toothless. Are you telling me that United don't know that? I don't know. You know, sometimes I wonder what goes through the heads of people like Richard Arnold and Ed Woodward. But hey,
to be honest, mate, you fill me with a lot of confidence, mate. You know, if you are appointed tomorrow, at least I'll see someone who's actually caring to at least make a difference.
I dig my garden up and I find that oil pipeline, I'll buy United and we'll crack on. My job at the moment, that's of the Manchester United Redcast, Richard Amofa and myself, Aaron Paul, just chewing the fat about all things Manchester United as we approach an international break. On the back of this little break, we're going to be talking about that international break. Paul Pogba's withdrawn from the France club. We're going to be talking about players that have left United today on the final day of the transfer window and that dreaded Europa League draw. Join us on the other side. Okay, we are back. This is the Manchester United Redcast. My name is Aaron Paul. Joining me is Richard Amofa. We're looking back at United's 1-1 draw at Southampton. We've finished all that. We're just fighting. We're arguing amongst ourselves. Like to hear from you as well, at United Redcast on Twitter or at 90s90sutd on Twitter. Tweet us on one of those accounts and we'll read out your messages on this pod. Any birthdays, funerals, bar mitzvahs, whatever you want, we will read them out. Rich, let's look at the international break. Of course, United have got a couple of weeks to sort of sort their shit out, if you want. If you want,
to be honest, yeah.
Sort their shit out before the return of the Premier League. And we've got Leicester at home on the 14th of September. Not looking forward to that. Then we've got Astana at Old Trafford. Oh, buzzing. Astana.Kazakhstan. And you know, we got a funny old run of fixtures. You know, you look at it, Leicester at home, Astana at home, West Ham away, Rochdale at home in the League Cup, and then United, Arsenal at home on the Monday night, which we'll record a follow-up podcast to that. But, you know, an interesting run of fixtures. Pogba's pulled out due to a twisted ankle. Is this a precaution or is this...
You know what? I saw on Twitter just now, apparently on Instagram, he's liked a post of a fan saying, come to Real Madrid. and his official accounts liked it. Now, obviously, not people like to go crazy about these things. We don't know whether he's liked it by accident as these things happened or, you know, but the fact of the matter is that it's been liked from his account. It's been picked up. People going crazy about it. Doubt's got anything to do with his sudden absence. But whatever it needs, to be fair, from a United perspective, I'm happy that he's not playing. Because if he has picked up a knock, we need to wrap him in cotton wool. Because, yes, he's got his critics, but as I said many times, without him, we'll finish in the bottom half. And you know, that's just a fact. So if he is injured, I'm happy that he's not playing. And I'm happy that he's just rested. Because, again, Southampton game, I back Pogba to the hilt, but that game, you know, he was all over the place. I don't know if you saw that 5-minute spell before half time where he just gave the ball away about 5 times in the space of like 3 minutes. I was like, bro, what's going on? Like, like, fair enough, one time's cool, twice, okay, 3 times. What, are you okay? Like, what is going on there? But you say, hopefully he can now have a 2-week break, just get his head right, have a rest, and then just crack on for the rest of the season because we need him. He's such a big player for us. You know, he is our main man, if we're being honest. We need him firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man. So fucking...
I said, I guess, you know. It's true that, Aaron, if he got injured...
Mate, we don't... We've got 4 injuries at the moment. Four injuries. Dalot... if at 5, Dalot's coming back after the break. Martial and Shaw are injured. I mean, Luke Shaw, genuinely, just don't even know. Don't know if Pogba's back in there, why he's out to the new year. At what point do we run like low on players and we think, shit, we're in trouble? Do you know what I mean? At what point?
It's true. It's the typical injury crisis, though. We have an injury crisis every year, though.
There's so much. I don't understand. It's dead. But what I don't understand is, like, you know, we need a bigger squad because... we're playing in 4 or 5 competitions. Don't get me wrong.
True.
It's 1-0 at Old Trafford or something, you know. But, like, seriously, we need a bigger squad. We need a bit of depth, you know. It's really not great. Very quickly, let's touch on the players that left United. The deadline, of course, has happened. The international transfer window. Alexis Sanchez has gone to Inter Milan on a season-long loan deal. Apparently, there is a future transfer fee involved there, so Sanchez can move permanently to Inter Milan if need be. Chris Smalling has joined Roma. Everyone knows he's going to become world-class there finally at the age of 29. He's going to turn into Chris Smaldini, I think they call him.
On. I hope he does well. I don't mind him. I think out of all the centre backs, we could have done with keeping him. I'd rather have seen Jones and Rojo go, but
mate, after some goals Smalling has scored for United, I think the logical step is to fucking stick him up front.
he does score big goals, doesn't he? He loves a goal against.
Mate, He loves a goal against City. I remember him in the Community Shield. I think it was his debut. He scored at Old Trafford on the LBG.
Yeah,
and
scored at Etihad, didn't he? Did he score at Etihad? Yeah, he did. He did score at Etihad. Yeah,
3-2 game when they were going to win the league. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So you know, stick him up front, bring him back, stick him up front. But yeah, Chris Morton has gone to Roma. Matteo Darmian has gone to Parma finally on a permanent deal for something like €1.5 million or something like that. Some really low fee.
Bye.
Yeah, bye, Matteo Darmian. Cameron Borthwick-Jackson has left Manchester United as well, finally. I mean, genuinely, I don't really know what he was doing. Although I was a fan of his. I don't know.
Just faded away, didn't he? Just happens.
Yeah, just disappeared. Everyone was excited because he could whip a ball in. But he's got Samir Overs on a season-long loan, probably until his contract expires. A lot of chat this week about Zlatan Ibrahimovic potentially returning to Manchester United. He's turning 38 this month, I think. Anyone fancy him? Anyone fancy a bit of Zlat?
Well, I wouldn't say no. At the end of the day, again, what he'll bring with all his bravado and everything like that, he'll be a good influence in the dressing room. He won't take no for an answer. He won't take, you know, poor standards. And that's so important in training, in matches. You know, he's a proven winner. He did well for us, to be fair, when he came. But, you know, if he comes and takes number 9 shirt, you know, will Martial sulk again for 2 years?
He can't take the number 9 shirt mid-season.
No, but I mean, not mid-season, but let's say he probably won't come got till January, you might get maybe half a year, maybe a year and a half deal.
At 38 years old, leave it out. They won't give me a year and a half deal.
I've seen United do some dumb things recently that I wouldn't be surprised. Fair enough, obviously, he won't get the front number mid-season, but... I said, let's say if he signs on and he's here for next season, and he said, I want number nine.
No.
United, we'll give him number nine, and we'll see Marshall Salkin for another 2 years.
This is bollocks. If Ibrahimovic has come, it will probably be on a pay as you play kind of thing, not pay as you play, like a base.
Aaron, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree with you in terms of the logic, but this is Manchester United. We haven't seen much logic from them recently, so I'm just thinking from worst case scenario. I agree with you that what you're saying is logical. As in, if you were the owner and you do a logical thing, that's what happens. But we're not doing logical things at the moment. And this is my concern. Do you know what I mean? So I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I wouldn't mind him seeing him back. Pay as you play, whatever. But we're not making logical decisions. We'll probably give him a massive contract. And he'll be like, yes, thank you very much. And take it. And that's my fear. If we do go down the logical route, then fair play. I'll love it. But I'm not confident that we'll do that.
Mate, I don't know. With all due respect to Ibrahimovic, if he fancies coming back in January, I'd jump on. But I'd hope we'd have some form of contingency plan in the form of actual solid signings in January.
Probably not.
Looking at the Europa League, United are heading to Kazakhstan. Follow. Because United are heading to Borats. Village. We also take on Partizan Belgrade and AZ Alkmaar. A 6,000-mile round trip to Astana in the Europa League. I cannot wait for it. I love Thursday nights. Thursday is underrated as a day. It's underrated as an evening. It's the new version of the weekend. Yeah.
I like your positive outlook, man.
Thanks.
It's good.
Well, are you buzzing for the Europa League as well?
You just got to take it, innit? You know, you can't complain about it. You can't. This is the cards we've been dealt. We could have been given a much harder group. As you say, we should get.
I wanted Rangers.
Yeah, so I mean, a nice Basel British tie. You know, that would have been good. But you said, you know, probably get 12 points. We move on.
That ain't gonna happen. We'll scrape through the group. Don't worry.
Can you imagine? If that happens, if we scrape through the group and our league form is poor, there will be pressure on Ollie, no doubt.
Mate, pressure on Ollie and bringing who? Fucking Allegri.
Listen, I don't make the rules. This is just what happens, mate. You know, people be sniffing around. This is what happens.
Mate, I think it's an absolute joke. Absolute fucking joke, lad. I would have liked to have played Rangers, maybe a Feyenoord or someone like that. But
yeah, a nice trip away, innit? You know,
deadest ever.
Yeah. You know, are you gonna watch it?
You know what? I wouldn't mind Getafe as well.
Yeah, you know, nice little stadium, you know, decent club.
Yeah, man.
You gonna watch it or you gonna just hope for the best?
You know, follow United. Well, I'm gonna try. I wouldn't mind going to that Astana gate. You know, I wouldn't mind going to Kazakhstan. But
great. That's you, man.
Hey, we could have had F91 Dudelange from Luxembourg. So you know, things. F91 Dudelange. Malmo, Lugano, Switzerland. Did you watch Europa League draw, by the way?
I saw clips of it. I saw certain clubs legends failing to pronounce names.
Ashley, it was such a B grade draw. You know, like it's like they spunked all the budget on the Champions League. Oh, the Europa League's in. Let's see who we can fucking pull out the hat.
Yeah,
man, it was horrendously poor. And Ashley Cole, struggling there. He was.
Really, you know what though? I'm looking forward to seeing Ashley Cole. I know he's retired now. Do some coaching, man. I mean, that guy's an elite left-back, you know, and it will definitely impart some knowledge on some young players. So I'm excited to see what he's going to be doing moving forward, to be fair. But
Not as good as Patrice Evra, though. Anyway.
Leave it here or there.
Let's have some early doors predictions. I'm going to go United 2, Leicester 1. Rich?
2-1 at home.
Good sound effects. Good sound effects. Good
sorry,
sound.
Buddy. Sorry.
You think we're going to lose?
Yeah, I think we'll lose 2-1. Yeah. I'm not. But hopefully, some reverse psychology. You know, I say we're losing, we'll actually win because I backed us to win both games. But I just think Leicester going forward will just be too much for us.
You're going to be watching England?
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah.
Why?
You have to, don't you? Yeah. You just got to watch it, innit? Do you know what I mean? I'm excited. We've got a nice squad, though. I want to see like the young players, you know, do a bit. So, yeah, of course, man.
Barring, mate. Barring. Who are England even playing? Oh, Bulgaria at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Jeez.
Oh, it's a suspect time, innit? What's the second game?
Oh.
Like Montenegro or something?
Wembley. Oh, my. You can guarantee tickets are still 40, 45 quid.
That's a madness, isn't it? It shouldn't be, man. For a dead game like that, it shouldn't be. But people still go because it's like, you know, people won't, like, you know, the diehard England fans might not go to that game, so there'll be tickets available. There's a game at St Mary's, isn't there?
Is it St Mary's or is it Wembley?
Yeah, I think there's one game at St Mary's. I don't know if it's that one or the other one, but I know there's a game at St Mary's.
Mate. Yeah, St Mary's, that's the one. That is the one.
Ah, fair play.
Well, that's the thing. You know, Wembley will be empty.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not going to sell up Wembley for that one.
No chance.
Yeah, I ain't going to.
Yeah, clever decision.
I'm going to go and watch some League One or something like that. League One or League Two and crack on with that.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point, to be fair. Like I said, we've got Exeter and Plymouth down here, so I might pop down and watch them instead.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, very sad news about Bury FC in the week that they have been expelled from the football. A lot of white fans standing around saying that City United should be bailing them out. I don't think that's how it works, to be fair.
I know
in an ideal world it'd be very, very good, but I really don't think that is actually how it'd work. But yeah.
I agree. At the end of the day, what that would just happen is that, okay, let's say if they did bail them out, one, it shows that they're backing this stupid owner, Ian Dale. I never want to see him around football ever again.
Steve.
What a disgrace. Is it Steve Dale or Ian Dale? Steve Dale.
Ian Dale.
I don't even care. No, I was thinking about someone else. It is Steve Dale. I can't even get his name. I don't care about him. What a parasite to the game.
Dale's off...
He's the radio presenter, isn't he?
Isn't he off LBC?
Yeah, that is it. Yeah. No, to be fair, he's been spitting some real gems recently. But anyway, I won't get too much into that. But yeah, anything, you know, if United or City was to back that, it would be showing, you know, they'll be supporting Steve Dale. And that's wrong. And secondly, that's a person, doesn't it? Because it means that teams will gamble and then rely on a bailout from a bigger club. So it just sets the wrong precedent. And at the end of the day, Man U and Man City are not responsible for the likes of these clubs, which is just—it seems out of shape, but they're not. You know, they should be gambling, and you know they should be managing their finances properly. And it's a shame because there are a few clubs who are on the brink. I know you've seen Bolton, but you've got other clubs. There are clubs like Scunthorpe, Charlton. As you know, more clubs that are in the shit, and it just takes one rough turn, and they'll be in the same position. So it's worrying times, to be honest, mate.
Mate, no, 100%. Really, really sad news. But yeah, hopefully Bury bounce back stronger. Rich, that's all we've sort of got time for this week. Thank you very much for joining me. I'll catch you after the international break. Drop us a tweet at United Redcast. Let us know what you reckon of the pod and anything you want to chat about. I'll be manning the socials this week. So yeah, it will be good to chat with you. For another week, though, come on, you Reds.
Common chaps.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.